Agenda item number 16, report and possible discussion on legislative update by Matt Phillips, Government and Customer Relations Manager.
Mr. Chairman, members, the good news is y'all are done with all the action items, so now it's just reports. So feel free to zone out if you want. I'm going to give a little bit of a legislative update, stuff going on in Austin and DC. If you were at one of the customer meetings, you're going to have seen some of this, but I'll try to jazz it up as much as I can jazz stuff like this up. At the state level, obviously Hurricane Harvey is going to dominate the next session, and across all policy areas, including water. For us, probably the most concerning thing is some what I would call knee-jerk policy reactions that come out of an unprecedented event like Hurricane Harvey. The one that could likely affect us the most operationally is this idea of pre-releasing or seasonally lowering water supply reservoirs. And that's the idea that you can somehow kind of outguess Mother Nature and lower your reservoirs in advance of a flood, or lower them for the entirety of hurricane season. This is obviously not something that we do. We don't try to outguess the weather. In most cases, when you pre-release, you're likely to make flooding worse downstream, or you're likely to sacrifice water supply that you may never get back. So kind of our message in that discussion is that there are reservoir operators that may want to look at doing pre-releasing in the future. We're not one of them, so it certainly shouldn't be a mandate on all water supply reservoir operators. It may be something some want to do, but you shouldn't make all of us do it. Kind of along the same lines is this idea of using these types of strategies, off-channel reservoirs and aquifer storage and recovery, which we've known for years are very good water supply strategies, but trying to make them into flood control strategies. The odds are that these types of projects, while they could have some very limited benefit in a very minor flood event, for an event like Hurricane Harvey or the tax day floods, odds are you're not going to be able to design an off-channel reservoir project or an aquifer storage and recovery project that's going to make a dent in that type of flow. In fact, we modeled Allen's Creek Reservoir as if it were in existence during Harvey, and it wouldn't have made any measurable impact on the flow. And in fact, it likely wouldn't have even been operational because of power outages. Or even if it would have been operational, we would have had issues with debris in the river and likely unable to use it anyways. So kind of just trying to inform that discussion that those aren't necessarily good flood control strategies. Notice responsibility and improvement. That's the idea of how do you get more information to people during a flood event, and can you create like a statewide website that aggregates all of the different information coming out of all of the different local entities during a flood event so people have one place to go? And could you create an Amber Alert type system for flooding to get people notified and get people information when they need it during a flood event? And then debris removal, which is kind of a biggie. Who's responsible for it? How do you do it? And how do you pay for it? You know, most of the property surrounding a large river is private. So how do you even get to it to be able to remove debris? And then again, I think the most important thing is how do you pay for it? An entity like us isn't set up. We don't have the resources to pay for debris removal all up and down the 42,000 square miles of our basin. So who funds that effort to remove debris after a flooding event? I show you this because as members of the Texas Water Conservation Association, we are participating as part of a flood response committee that they created. Brad and I are members of that committee. We were appointed by David. And I won't go through each one of these things, but what they're attempting to do in response to some of these Hurricane Harvey related interim charges is to put together kind of a book of informational papers on all of these different subjects to really just kind of inform the discussion to help policymakers understand these issues. Because one of the things that came out of the aftermath of Harvey is in many cases just how little understanding there is of a lot of the stuff that we do and a lot of the things that we operate. So really trying to provide information to those folks as they make some of these decisions. We are participating, editing these documents, providing input on these, attending the committee meetings, and we'll continue to do that as this group attempts to inform the members prior to the session. Right now, there's no proactive legislative recommendations coming out of this group. That could change, but again, we're just participating as part of that process. The Water Development Board flood assessment, that's another thing that will likely come out right before the session that'll at least be part of the discussion during session. I think it's important to point out, and all the Water Development Board people would if they were here, this is not a statewide flood plan. They've been very adamant in pointing that out. This is really meant to provide information to the legislature on if they were going to create a state flood plan, here's how you would do it, here's who would need to be involved, and here's what it would look like. That's likely, this assessment is likely to come out in December, right in advance of the session, so it's really likely that the legislature will be looking at potentially creating some sort of regional-based state flood plan, maybe similar to the statewide water plan that we have right now, but for flooding. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of that, and also it'll be interesting to see how you pay for it. Other interim charges unrelated to Harvey, WAM updates. So updating the water availability models at TCEQ, they'll probably give that a shot again. Always runs into issues because it costs money to do it, and nobody wants to pay for it. Groundwater policy, I don't think they'll ever stop discussing that. I think it'll be an issue every single session. Our district's the preferable way to manage groundwater, particularly if they're drawn along political boundaries and not aquifer boundaries. I think you'll continue to have those debates, and no offense to anyone in the room, groundwater attorneys will continue to get rich off of this discussion. Water permit streamlining, the legislature will continue to look at ways to make that process faster. Obviously, we're an example of how long that process can take. That's another thing that it's really fun to talk about, but it costs money to streamline that process, and nobody ever wants to pay for it. So there's usually a fiscal note attached to it, which makes it not be able to move. And then the regulatory framework of groundwater districts and river authorities. Really, that discussion up to this point is only focusing on this one. They have kind of left this one off. I'm not even sure why they included it in their interim charges. The main reason they haven't really talked about this much is because so many of the river authorities either are going through or are going to go through the sunset review process, so they've kind of left this one off, and they're mainly focusing, similar to the things in here, you know, are groundwater districts set up correctly? Should they look different? Should they be set up along aquifer boundaries? That kind of thing. I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about the sunset review process, and part of the reason for that is we need to start preparing ourselves for that because we're next in line for sunset review. And so we will likely begin engaging with the Sunset Commission staff after this next session. So basically mid-2019 is when we'll start having communications with those folks. So I'm going to give kind of just a very high level overview of how that process works, and obviously we'll learn more the deeper we get into it. The first step is kind of the sunset staff evaluation portion. That's where the entity being reviewed, which in this case would be us, completes a self-evaluation report. And then the sunset staff basically spends their time doing the audit, for lack of a better term, and completing what is called their initial sunset staff report. So that's step one of the process. That sunset staff report is published on their website along with the self-evaluation report that the entity completes themselves. Step two, Sunset Commission deliberation. The Sunset Commission is made up of members of the House and the Senate, along with some members of the public. That's when they begin going over the report. They hold basically two hearings usually for each agency. They hold an initial hearing where they go over the Sunset Staff Report and they take public testimony on the Sunset Staff Report. And then several months later, they'll have what's called a decision hearing, where they will adopt the Sunset Staff Report and any recommendations that are in it. Additionally, the Commission can recommend additional recommendations on top of what's in the report. So those can come out of discussion, they can come out of the public testimony, they don't have to be in the initial report. So there's basically two hearing processes, an initial hearing and then a decision hearing. And then step three, what comes out of this is usually a piece of legislation, a bill, a sunset bill. What's going to be different with the river authorities is most true state agencies, when they have a sunset bill, you got to pass something, otherwise that agency is going to be abolished or unravel by the end of the next session. With us, we can't be abolished. The legislation that put us under sunset doesn't allow us to be abolished. So while there will be pieces of legislation that come out of the sunset process, they're not, I guess to some they would be, but they're not technically in that must-pass category, because it's not as if not passing them would result in us somehow being abolished or going away, because we can't. This just gives you an idea of the entities currently being reviewed. You've got Nueces River Authority, Red River Authority, Guadalupe Blanco River Authority, and the Lower Colorado River Authority. And the only reason I show you these is because this is probably the first review timeline where they've had larger river authorities to look at. The very first review session that they went through, they had three really small river authorities. So this is the first one in GBRA and LCRA where they've got a couple larger river authorities to look at. In terms of process, Nueces, RED, and GBRA have all done their self-evaluation. They've all had their first commission hearing, and they're set to have their decision hearing in August. So they're almost through basically step two of the process. LCRA, as you can imagine, much bigger entity than any of those other groups. They've done their self-evaluation report. The Sunset staff report is in process and is expected in October. And then their first commission hearing will be set for December. And then they'll have their second decision hearing in January, probably after the session has already started. So that's when LCRA will go all the way through that process. And if you're curious, I think the larger entities that we will be paired with includes the San Jacinto River Authority, and I believe Trinity will be with us as well.
Matt, remind us, the last time we did underwent the authority?
We have never done a sunset review process. No. And I misspoke a second ago. We will be with Sabine and San Jacinto River Authority. Those will be the entities that we're reviewed with.
Not Trinity.
And then I think this is my last slide. We talked about this during the last meeting, the set of water supply rules that the Corps of Engineers proposed that we believe very much infringe on state of Texas water rights, that have the potential to cost us real water in terms of how they manage the water supply aspect of their reservoirs. Very much against these rules. We've written detailed comments. I think the last time we talked to y'all, we had written letters to our entire congressional delegation to make them aware of our concerns. And those letters were going to be followed up with visits. David and I did those visits in June. I would tell you they went extremely well. The offices we met with were very receptive to our position, understood our concerns. So I think we've at least teed that up with them to where if we need to bring them in, need their help, they will. Actually, I have a couple of offices that are using their contacts at the Corps to try to get us some insight on what they think the Corps is going to do with this rule. What we're hearing in terms of status is that there will be a rule. They will come out with a rule package, but hopefully it will likely look much different than the ones we've seen in the past in response to so many of the concerns that they've gotten from entities like us throughout the nation. So we're at least somewhat hopeful on that, but again, we're prepared to go after it if we need to. The only other thing I'd mention is in addition to that issue, when we did those visits, we also talked about the Whitney reallocation project, and we also talked about mussels with our congressional delegation, so we've communicated our position on both of those to them as well. And I think that's all I got. I'd be happy to answer any questions. Yes, sir.
What very briefly is the Corps trying to do as far as they would take water supply from us?
So they're attempting to deal with situations in the U.S. that aren't necessarily like ours. So where you have water that flows through multiple states, or where you have states that don't necessarily have a system of managing water rights like we do, they feel that they need some sort of mechanism for managing and allocating for water supply that passes through their core reservoirs. And where it kind of becomes a square peg in a round hole thing is in a state like Texas, where we already have a system for managing water rights, and we have the entirety of river basins and systems that are within one state, like the Brazos. So it doesn't really fit us like it might fit some other
states. Colorado and the West or something.
Yes, sir. Florida, Georgia, those kind of things.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.